listening to the Online Supercoach Podcast, the place where business owners create breakthroughs. Here's your host, AJ Mirza.
Welcome to another episode of the Online Supercoach Show. Today I have a legend from Australia on the line. He is a super cool dude and someone who I call a friend and someone who I've mentored. He is killing the game with his fitness education online company and has achieved a lot of success over the past few years. Of course, having an online business, he's a part of Team No Pants, where he could work from anywhere and pants are optional. But he's had this amazing success over the past years and done what 3% of businesses have done, going from zero to six figures and then breaking seven figures, which is a mighty, mighty win. As you know, that's a big goal for everyone, but this guy just keeps going and going and going. And I'm so excited to share his wisdom and experience with you today. Jono, thanks for being on the show.
AJ, thanks for having me. What an intro, by the way. I'm not sure if I can, I might need you to write that down and give it to me because I'm going to use that again and again and again.
That's going to be a new affirmation every morning, okay?
Sounds perfect.
Speaking of affirmations, what is a quote or a mantra that fires you up?
Ooh, AJ, can I cheat and give you two if they're both short?
I will accept it.
Awesome. All right. The first one, famous quote, I'm sure you've probably heard it yourself. Whether you think you can or whether you think you can't, either way, you're right.
Yes.
Love that's that. One. My second one is people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. That's my second one.
That is great. I love those quotes. I actually, on a weekly basis, they always come up, you know, because those are like two maxims of life and business. And, you know, that I think it was Henry Ford that said the first one, you think you can, you think you can't. And I use that often on social media when someone says something negative, you know, like especially like on my Facebook ads, you know, you get a lot of trolls. This stuff doesn't work. There's no way you're making $1 million, blah, blah, blah. And I say, hey, whether you know, I just type that quote in and then it's like, okay, I don't have to respond. That's all I need to do.
Yeah. Love it. Love it.
Yes. Yes. Cool. Cool. So, you know, I want to take us back to the beginning because you've accomplished a lot of success. You know, like I said, taking your business from zero to the coveted six figures, then from six figures to seven figures. We want to bring them to the back of the journey. And of course, we both have the lovely connection with being in the fitness industry, right? We all started as personal trainers, and a lot of people online are personal trainers and coaches. So let's go back to your experience as a personal trainer.
Yeah, cool, cool. Well, I guess where it started for me, AJ, I mean, I started in like everyone does in the big box gym sort of thing. I then got into like the boot camp side of things. You know, I thought, okay, boot camp, it's more leverage, right? Like fitness professionals watching this, we know that, you know, you run a boot camp, you can work an hour a day and you can, you know, leverage your time a lot more, get a lot more clients in the boot camp and make a lot more, make it worth your while, you know, more leverage. So I started to get into the boot camp side of things, but there was one issue, right? I sucked at running boot camps, okay? So I was running them and I saw the advantage of them, but I was bad. You know, I was so, so bad. And we actually, I was part of a franchise, AJ, and there were 70 different boot camp franchise locations across Australia.
Wow.
And you'd get ranked by your retention, right? So, you know, the more clients you, the higher your retention rate was, you'd get ranked number one, number two, number three. Out of 70, AJ, take a guess what I was ranked.
Where?
Take a guess.
Number one.
Number 70 is where I started off on my very first year. Number 70, all right?
70.
But, yeah. But
bottom of the barrel.
You know what? Sorry, bottom of the barrel. But I thought, you know what? I'm going to give this a hit. I'm not going to give up. You know, I was into a lot of personal development at the time. And I just worked at it, you know? I worked on myself. I, you know, hired coaches. I went to courses. I practiced myself. And, you know, slowly, slowly built up. And then by the end of the year, we had another, you know, national meeting, 70 different locations. Take a guess what I was ranked the year later.
Well, logically, I would say halfway, maybe 30.
30, number one after
Holy
the year.
Holy cow. Wow. Yeah, yeah. Dead last in first place. That's incredible.
Well, that's it. I was super excited. I was super motivated. And from there, I thought, hey, I'm just going to keep going and keep learning and learning. And, you know, then it sort of got to a point, and I'm like, hold on, I've done a lot of these courses here in Australia. I've hired a lot of mentors. And you know what? I think the stage that I'm at now, I think I could put together a program or a course that's better than anything out there. And that's basically how Fitness Education Online started. I thought, all right, how can I put together a perfect boot camp course where a fitness professional can, you know, can do this course and learn everything they need to master a boot camp?
That is incredible. Yeah, and that's what I love. You are teaching by example, right? Going from dead last to first place, you obviously accumulated a lot of knowledge and wisdom. So when it comes to teaching fitness professionals and even people to leverage themselves and start a boot camp, I mean, you have all the tools, and that's what you provide for people. You give them everything. And I've obviously seen the amazing results you've gotten for your students and the powerful engagement you get because you add so much value.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. And I think that's a big point. Even speaking to, you know, a lot of people that have had success and whatnot, I think that, like, what's important is that you've practiced what you've preached and you've got experience, because it's not just about fancy marketing techniques, right? Like, I think that helps, obviously, the better you can sell and market. But I feel like if you've been there and you've done it yourself, it's just so much more authentic, right?
Yes, yes, absolutely. So much more authentic, so much more powerful. And the whole thing is, you speak from example. Like, you could give people advice, and obviously if they hit a roadblock, you're like, well, here's what I did to get out of the roadblock, you know, which is, some people teach theory and they've never been through challenges. You know, you have people that literally started a business in 3 months and they want to be business coaches, but they've never had those failures and those challenges. And someone comes with a problem, it's out of their league.
Spot on, spot on. And I think the other key thing there as well is, because I've been there, it just makes it so easy for me to understand my target market, right? I've got them down to a T, because it was me 5-10 years ago.
Yes, absolutely. It was you, and you basically remember the challenges, the pain, the fears, and that's the best type of teacher, because you know exactly what's going on in their minds.
Spot on. And one thing I've actually learned from you, AJ, you know, you obviously being a mentor, and I listen to your podcast religiously, is the journaling, right? Mm. I feel like if I journal, even now, I still journal, because I feel like in 5-10 years time, I'm probably going to be working with people where I'm at now. So what are the struggles I'm going through now? How can I overcome them? So in 5-10 years time, I can look back at my journal and see those things there. And they're just great stories for marketing and for content, and, you know, helps attract people to you.
Yes, absolutely. Yep. The journaling has changed my life, and that's the one keystone habit that I never give up. I've been doing it for 12 years straight. I have not missed a day. And the journals for me are personally the most valuable piece of content that I have. I mean, if someone offered me $1 million for all my journals, I would not take it. No way in hell. Keeping money, those things are priceless to me.
Yeah, yeah. Agree 100%.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. So one thing that I truly admire about you is that you are two things. You are an action taker, and you are super cool and a pleasure to work with. I would call you a dream come true client. And I had the pleasure of coaching you twice, actually. You went through my initial 12-week coaching program, and then a while later, the program you're in currently now is my high-level VIP. And the one thing that I always admire is that you never complain. I never heard you being negative. You never bitch. You never moan. You take full responsibility. And at the same time, I give you tasks and you get them done. You go beyond what I say, you know. And obviously we all coach people and we have a certain type of clients who are the action takers. They're a pleasure to work with. You give them three things, it's done the next day, right? There's other clients that are a bit more challenging, and you give them a nutrition plan, workout plan, they don't follow it. They complain and they blame you for not getting results. So I want to know, like, how do you have ideal clients? You know, because like I said, you are my dream come true ideal client. And I obviously, if I had 10 more Jonos, I would be a very, very happy man. But I want to know, like, in terms of your selection process, how do you attract the right people and repel the wrong people?
Cool. All right. Well, I think for me, it comes down to I've done a lot of personal development over the years, right? And there's another saying, I don't know, have you seen the victor versus victim theory?
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, cool. So that sort of did wonders for me. You know, you see that chart and it's like, hey, the victors, the people that win, they don't blame anyone, they take full responsibility and they take full accountability. And that sort of changed my life once I saw that. I was like, oh my God, I've been living my whole life on the victim side. Now I'm going to just change everything over and be the victor. So that sort of changed. That sort of changed my life and helped me. What's the word? I guess helped me more become a leader. That's how I find I'm able to attract my clients. Is I want to lead, right? I want to just do everything by example, and that's a big reason of why I invest so much in myself. I feel like, and actually, this is I'll tell you a story back from the fitness days because this might relate with a lot of coaches. Back in the day when I was selling boot camp, you know, I was selling boot camp for $50 a week or something. And hey, it was okay, you know, but I wasn't great at sales. And it sort of came to a point where my fitness went downhill and I was like, you know what? I'm going to hire a trainer. All right. So I hired a personal trainer myself and I paid him $50 a session. So $150 a week. And as soon as I hired that trainer to train me, it made it so much easier for me to sell to other people because I was leading from example and I could sort of say if someone was on the phone, they were like, oh, $50 a week for boot camp, you know, it's a bit expensive. I could, not that I would say it, but I would just sort of portray things, which is like, yeah, I mean, depends what you think of expensive. I'm paying $150 per week for my health and fitness, all right? So that's just an example going back to the fitness days of leading by example, where I feel like if you just tell someone something or, you know, ask someone something, then, hey, they may do it. But I feel like if I can lead from example, I'm going to attract people that that I inspire because that's sort of my goal. My goal is to, you know, to be a leader and to motivate and inspire thousands of people to make a decision that's going to improve their life, right? And I figure the best way I can do that is leading from example. So I live what I want people to do, right? So that's why I invest in myself a lot. I invest in my knowledge. I do a lot of personal development and I share that as well. You know, I send out an email a day. I do a live video on Facebook a week. I speak to people on the daily and I just, I share my story, I guess.
Yeah.
Does that answer the question?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Like you tell your clients to do certain things, but you do them yourself, you know? And, that's one of the reasons why I'm successful in what I do and I get dream come true clients like you is because when I have a mentor, my number one goal is to be their best success story. I want to be super coachable, super positive, listen to every word they say, and at the same time, refer people to them, do testimonials for them, go out of my way. So the mentor that I work with, I want to say like, damn, you know, AJ is one of my best clients. He's like a soulmate client because he does everything I say. He takes massive action. He's positive. He's referred me clients. And at the same time, he makes the most money out of all my other students, you know? And what ends up happening is by me being that person, I tend to attract clients that are like that as well, right? So I have an amazing human being like you. And it's a joy every time we talk. I love the conversations. I get inspired. You teach me things and I'm on your email list. You know, I read your emails and I love your content, your stories, your videos. I'm in your group, which is a phenomenal group, super engaged, lots of content. But at the same time, it's like, you're committed to me. I'm committed to you. And that's just a beautiful place to come from, you know, just like, you know, it's an age old axiom. Be who you want to attract.
Yeah, spot on. That, you know what? I probably could have summed up your question in that one sentence. So I love it. That's exactly how I feel.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about the road, right? Because to go from zero to becoming a self-made millionaire is not an easy road. And I know I went through a lot of stuff, a lot of mindset issues and self-doubt, imposter syndrome. In fact, I still sometimes feel like an imposter and I doubt myself and I lose confidence. Sometimes I wake up and I'm like, should I be in this industry? Should I be doing podcasts? Who am I to teach people? And I wake up, I'm like, wait a minute, stop it, stop it. So I'm just curious, and this is like a weird question, but if you could sum up like a certain type of mindset or a framework that you feel took you from zero to a million, what would be like the one framework that you feel helped you in this journey?
Good question. The best answer I can give, I'm not sure if this will answer the question, but this is the framework that I've sort of used. I just sort of took it step by step, right? And actually, we'll start beforehand. Let's start. What probably got me started was the book Think and Grow Rich, right? I know you're a huge fan of that book as well, right, AJ?
Reread it over and over.
Exactly. So that sort of got, my desire. I read through that and I read through all the things. Hey, I'm going to get my desire. I'm going to do the auto suggestion. I went through all of that. And I guess the framework that I sort of use is I just went step by step. So I thought, all right, hey, what can I do to get started? All right, what can I do to get this program out there? So I just, looked up, all right, what can I do just to put a basic online program together? Okay, and just put the absolute basics out there. Once I had it out there, I just sort of went through step by step. Okay. And at the time, your podcast actually got me started. I was listening to, I thought, okay, how can I learn how to, be better at sales and marketing or whatever? And I, Googled podcasts for fitness and yours came up. So I'd listened to a lot of your stuff and I would just, what probably got me started was the whole Facebook side of things. When I first started listening to your podcast, there was a lot of people talking about Facebook ads and that sort of thing. And I was like, okay, well, hey, if I want to get ahead and get myself out there, I've got to learn Facebook ads. All right. So that was sort of step one. I did some Facebook ads and that sort of thing. And, I got a little bit of traction, but I didn't get a whole heap of sales or anything like that. And I thought, what's going on? What's holding me back? And then I realized it was the email. I was like, all right, hey, it's all well and good to, then from there, I actually hired a Facebook ad expert and said, hey, optimize my stuff. Kim Barrett, who I know you're a good friend with as well.
Good dude. Okay? Yes.
Yep. So I sort of mastered the Facebook side of things. And I was like, all right, now I know how to get leads from Facebook. That's awesome. And leads are good, but leads don't necessarily lead to sales, right? They sort of do, but not necessarily. So I thought, how can I convert these leads into clients? I thought, hey, my email marketing should improve. So then I reached out to Ryan Dice from Digital Marketer and, did one of his email marketing programs. Okay. And from there, I saw a huge sort of jump. Okay, because it went from, not knowing how to email market to being really good at email marketing. So that was my first, there were two big jumps, optimizing Facebook and then optimizing email marketing. And then from there, I was like, well, how can I get to the next step? And then I reached out to another mentor, Gulliver Giles, who I know you follow as well, AJ. And he's like an expert sales. Exactly. He's an expert on phone sales. So I did Gulliver's program and really mastered the phone sales side of things. And then once I had, there's obviously a few other things going on there, but I feel like that was the sort of three big framework where I can master Facebook ads and get leads, get really targeted leads for an affordable price on Facebook. I can call these people up and my sales skills are on point, so I've got a pretty high conversion rate. Even if I don't convert them on the phone, my email marketing is really strong as well. So there's a good chance that they'll, register down the line via email marketing. And then the third thing as well, which I've just sort of discovered organically myself, is the Facebook group side of things. Because what I sort of realized is Facebook groups these days are almost the new age email marketing. Email marketing was big sort of, it's still big now. It's still awesome. I love it. I get so many clients from it. But, a lot of people's inboxes are just spam these days and it goes to junk mail and people just don't spend that much time on their emails like they used to. All right. 10 years ago, people would send each other jokes on emails and that sort of thing. Now it's mainly on Facebook. All right. So I realized that Facebook groups is also an awesome way to nurture your, nurture your prospects and that sort of thing. So I guess that's the sort of framework that I'd recommend. Learn how to get leads. Facebook's obviously a great way. Learn how to nurture those leads. I recommend email marketing and Facebook groups, and then also know how to convert them via phone sales.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, makes total sense. Yeah, absolutely. I love that. Appreciate that. And the whole thing is that obviously everything you just said, there's a theme, and that's heavily investing in yourself, you know, investing your time to listen to podcasts, watch videos, investing in mentors, getting courses, and not just studying the course, but taking massive action with it, you know, which is the secret of all success.
Spot on. And another thing, I was going to mention this earlier, actually. One thing I found with investing in myself a lot is a lot of the time you may only learn one thing, but that thing can be that can be $1 million thing, right? You can do someone's program, you can hire a mentor, and you can know 99% of what's in their program. But if you can find that 1% that you didn't know, that can be enough to make you thousands, if not millions of dollars, all right? And that's why I think it's super important to have that sort of positive attitude and be super coachable, because that's how you find that 1%. If you sort of go in there with the attitude, I already know this, you're going to just skip over that 1% that you didn't know because of your mindset.
Absolutely. 100%. Yes. And I always say this at my seminars, that there's two types of people. They're the know-it-alls. You know, they're always like, I already know this. Oh, this is basic stuff. I got this. I already learned this. Or people that want mastery, right? And then masters say, thanks for the reminder, right? So essentially, I've been doing email marketing for over 10 years, but just hearing your perspective of it, hearing your point of view, gave me a shift, right? I could hear about it all day long. Sales is another thing. There's so many different sales experts. I probably read close to 100 books on sales. Every time I read one, I learn a new question, a new process, but also I'm reminded of the stuff I need to do, right? With everything, there's fundamentals, and mastering the fundamentals is a secret of success.
Agreed, 200%.
So I'm going to ask you a tough question, but because you are a super coach, I know that you'll answer this just fine. Let's say
I'm ready.
Someone reaches out to you, someone from this podcast. Jono, I really need your help. I'm in a really tough situation. I'm deeply in debt and I'm going to be homeless, evicted from my apartment in the next 30 days. I need to generate $10,000 to pay for the rent of my apartment, my mother's medical bills, and to feed my cats. If I don't do it, I'm going to lose everything. Please tell me what I could do to make $10,000 in the next 30 days.
Okay, cool. Good question. All right. So a couple things that I would do there. Number one, I would have that mindset where it's like, I wouldn't give up. Okay. And I'm like, I'm going to find these $10,000 no matter what. My expertise is in bootcamp. Okay. So, and my basic model with bootcamp is you can set something up, which is like, you know, hey, here's $50 a week for, here's my 12-week bootcamp program. It's $50 a week for 12 weeks. All right. Which is about $500. Yeah.
Yes.
Cool. So what I would do personally is I would put together some sort of program like that, which is like, hey, look, it's going to be now a yearly program. Okay. So it's, you know, it's $40 a week for the full year, which is about $2,000 per year. All right. But you got to pay up front. With me?
Yes. 100%. You got to pay up front, paid in full. Yes.
Yeah. Pay up front, paid in full. So instead of it being, you know, you get a bit of a discount, whatever, ends up at about $2,000. I would just grind and do whatever I can to get five people on that $2,000 program. There's your $10,000. So I guess there's a two sort of part question there. Oh, sorry, two part answer. Number one is you need to have some sort of program together to sell. All right. And that's what I'm just using bootcamp as an example. But I guess the answer I'll give whatever you're doing out there is put together some sort of program which costs a couple thousand dollars. All right. That's sort of step one. You need to have some program like that. And then step number two is the marketing side to it. All right. And I just said, you know, grind and do whatever you can to get it, which is what I would do. But, you know, everyone's sort of got a different strategy, different way of marketing. I would use whatever works best for that person. If you use Instagram, use Instagram. If you use Facebook, if you use Facebook. Me personally, shit, I would knock on, I'm dedicated, right? I would spend my Sunday just knocking on every single person's door on my street if I had to until someone signed up for that program. Okay. So I guess that's the two part thing. Number one is get that program together, which costs a couple thousand dollars. So you only need to sell, you know, five of them to make that $10,000. And then the second thing is you got to market yourself one way or another.
Yeah.
Does that make
sense? Yeah, that makes sense. Essentially, whatever it takes. You can't just put out a few Facebook posts and expect to make that 10K. You got to hustle, even if it means knocking on people's doors and selling yourself to them.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly. And hey, I tell a bit of a white lie. Like, I'm good at social media, so I probably wouldn't, you know, knock on doors. But hey, if it was 10 years ago, 100% I would. And you know what? If my motivation was that high, even today, I still would.
No, absolutely. There's a beautiful energy, and it is called momentum. And once you do the hard work, you generate momentum. That momentum is a powerful force that will just take you everywhere, right? So there's a momentum that you need to just be in your business all the time, to be hustling and closing sales and serving your clients at the highest level. And of course, stuff happens. You have some issues or some stuff with your family, relationships, personal life, you get sick, whatever the case is, you lose your momentum. And I think the successful people, they've learned how to generate momentum very quickly. And sometimes it is doing the stuff that people fear doing.
Actually, can I tell you another quote? I should have mentioned at the start, AJ. This is another quote that I live by. Successful people do the things that unsuccessful people don't want to do. All right. And the things unsuccessful people don't want to do, hey, it's the same things that no one wants to do, right? But the successful people are the ones that do those things, which is why they're successful. So that's why whenever I'm sort of posed with a situation that 99% of people would give up or wouldn't do it, I'm like, beautiful. I'm going to be that 1% that does this stuff the unsuccessful people don't want to do to be successful.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Absolutely. And speaking of doing the stuff that others won't, so you hit a huge milestone, breaking the mystical seven-figure barrier. And I said, you know what, Jono, you got to keep up this momentum. You got to do something out of your comfort zone. And we're brainstorming. And I set a challenge for you to do a live seminar, your own live seminar in Australia. And you said, yes, I will do it. And I'm like, woo, that was easy. That didn't take a lot of convincing. And I would love for you to share. You know, I could tell everyone on the line the benefits of live seminars. I mean, ever since I did my first one, it changed my life. Since then, I've done about 20 of them, various type of events, two-day seminars, one-day free events, masterminds, retreats, and they are powerful in terms of changing lives, immersing people in your point of view, adding goodwill, and most importantly, selling, right? Because you're selling these events. You're selling at the events. So when I put that challenge to you to do the thing that others won't, which is doing a live seminar, how'd you feel about that?
You know what? To be honest, excited. You know, I mean, when you first mentioned it, I was like, oh, I was a little bit nervous. Not nervous, but I was a little bit like, oh, man, I've never done it. I run an online business. You know, why am I doing it face-to-face? But then the more he sort of explained it, I was like, you know what? He's right. And I think the thing that excited me about it most is it was like the next step or the next challenge. You know, now that I'm sort of, because I guess with, it's cool being online and it's cool being good on social media and all that sort of thing. But it's also easy to hide behind a computer sometimes, you know, and it's almost easy to hide behind a phone call sometimes. I feel like what excites me is, all right, if I can get in front of a live audience and I can test myself and be as confident and be as motivating and be as inspiring on the spot, I think that'll be a good test for me. And I feel like if I can master that test, I'll grow as a person. So I guess that's what I'm most excited about doing my live event.
Absolutely. And I told you this when we had our call about it. The first live event you do is the scariest thing. And it's the hardest. It takes a lot of work, you know, because there's three major parts to doing a live event. One is filling the event. And the reason why most people don't do it, because they're scared that if they announce they're doing a seminar, no one shows up. It's like public embarrassment. So that's the hardest part, of course, getting butts in seats. Number two is the actual experience for the clientele. You want to make them feel like this was amazing. It was worth their time and effort wherever they traveled to get there. You made them happy. And then third is like ongoing support, whether you sell at the event or you offer some type of coaching or camaraderie or challenge. That's a whole element of it. But of course, getting butts in seats, you know, because once you make that announcement, you set the date, that's when everything begins. And that's why I always tell people the great thing about a live event and the secret about it is that it's a really low risk experience, meaning that you could make an announcement for a live event. I always recommend doing it 8 to 12 weeks prior to the date. If your first one, especially, is to get an understanding of how long it'll take to get filled out. But the cool thing is that like you put it out, you have a certain number in your head. Let's say if you want to do 20 people, let's say you're about 6 weeks in, 6 weeks away from it, and you only have two people signing up. Well, no problem. You just tell those two people, hey, we really didn't get the turnout that we wanted, and you can cancel the event. Yeah. And believe me, people have very short memories. You know, people don't remember what you had for breakfast, let alone they're not going to think about you and your event. And people think like, oh my God, this is embarrassing, and everyone's going to know that I never did this seminar. Man, people talk all this stuff on the internet, and they don't do it, but no one ever follows up on them because we all do that. We're all guilty of, you know, saying we're going to do something. Sometimes we don't, you know, but that, like I said, a seminar, retreat, all these things, it's like pre-selling it. And then if you get the demand and then you get the people you want, you get everything that is up to your quota, then you find a hotel, the venue, all that stuff. So it's a whole element of ready, fire, aim, right? Seminars, I love them for that reason.
Yeah, I'm. I can't wait. You know.
yeah. Like I said, because it's interesting. I was super nervous. You know, the first time I did my seminar, like I could hardly sleep the night before. I was tossing and turning and rehearsing over and over and over again. And you know, I remember just being in front of that room, and the first 10 minutes, I was like so nervous because I'm like, oh, what if they know it's my first seminar and, you know, I don't want to mess up. And then what ends up happening is like over time, you get more comfortable and loose, and then it's fun. Then it's like an addictive feeling. And then once you complete it, you're just like on a high. And then the cool thing is that you have everything from that first event. You have the marketing to fill it up. You have the content to teach. And then obviously whatever you do for your ongoing support. And that's why the first one's the hardest. But once you do that, man, you just do it over and over and over again. That's why, like, I've done 20, and I plan on doing 20 more over the next few years.
100%. And another thing that inspired me that I saw, or that you told me last week, AJ, was how you went to California, I believe, for the weekend, and just did almost an on-the-spot, you know, face-to-face seminar there. And I was like, man, that could be cool. Because I travel a lot, right? I travel to the States once a year. I travel to New Zealand, you know. And I'm like, you know what? That could be a cool way for me to get my name out there worldwide if I'm going to a conference in the USA. Hey, cool. I might stick around for an extra week or an extra weekend and do a live event down there and just get my name out overseas, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I want to have you on this podcast because, you know, my stronghold is the US market. Like you have clients all around the world and I want you to expose and people can see your talent and what you're capable of. And that's just really what it is. You got to like get out there and travel. And if you're traveling, make it worth your while. So to sum up what John was saying, I basically had a trip to go to LA. It was more of like a relaxation trip. It's really cold this time of year in New York. So last weekend I said, I'm going to go to LA for the week and just enjoy myself, see some friends, get some nice sun. And I said, let me just take a risk and plan an impromptu seminar. So literally, I booked the tip 10 days before I went. And the same time that I booked it, I announced a one-day seminar. And I, you know, just said, just do it on the fly. Announced it on the fly, just hit it up on my Facebook. I'm doing a seminar. If you're around, come on Saturday, blah, blah, blah. Amazingly enough, had a great turnout. A lot of people showed up for it. It was a powerful event. I'm still on such a high. It was literally a few days ago. And I'm like, wow, that was so easy, you know, because just like in sales, sales is all about making an offer, right? Some people have all this like scare, but you just make the damn offer. Say, hey, this is what I have for you. And it's how much it costs, you know? Sometimes just doing a seminar It's just making the offer, making the announcement. You'll be amazed by how many people want to come just because, for me, like I'm a seminar junkie. And if someone on my social media who I followed said they're doing a seminar in my town, I'll be there in a heartbeat, right? Because I love live events. I love connecting with like-minded people. And people will go out of their way. It's interesting. Some people even flew from all the parts of the U.S. to come to this one-day seminar. And that's when I knew, like, wow, these events are so crucial for people.
Yeah, no, agree 100%. I'm a seminar junkie myself. And I never even thought about it like that until you just mentioned it. I love seminars, you know? I go to anyone I can find. So I guess that's probably another reason why I'm so excited to do one. Subconsciously, I love going to them myself. So, hey, it's only fair if I provide it for other people too.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, it is like powerful, you know, just because obviously we live in an online world and we're connected to people on social media, and the ability to connect with the people that you're friends with on the internet in person, old school style, is incredible because you create lifelong friendships and even meet new people. You know, we could all think about going to a seminar, meeting a friend or a business partner that till this day, we would have never met them unless we didn't go to that event.
Yeah, I agree.
Sweet, sweet, cool. So I'm going to now switch gears because we're coming to the end. But, you know, I asked you a lot of great questions. You answered them so fine. But the last question that I have for you is there anything I did not ask you about that I should have asked you about?
Can I tell you a funny story?
Yes, sir.
So I'm obviously a huge fan of your podcast. You know, I've been listening to it for years. And I hear you ask this question every single time. And, you know, a year or two ago, I was like, you know what? One day I want to be on this guy's podcast and I'm going to give him the best answer when he says that. And I completely forgot to think of a good answer for that, you know? So I'm going to have to do this one on the fly. But I guess one question that maybe could, I could help people with is the social media side of things. So I guess a question may be, where do you see social media going in the next year or couple years?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm really curious about that as well.
All right, cool. Well, yeah, that's sort of, because I guess that's sort of been a little bit of shift for me in the last, you know, couple months to a year, is where I've almost shifted a bit from helping people grow their bootcamp to helping them grow their social media, because it's so closely related, right? If you've got any sort of product, the bigger you're the better you are on social media, the more chance you have of getting it out there. And I've sort of dedicated, you know, the last few months of my life to mastering social media at a further level. And what I'm seeing a lot of, especially on my Facebook feed, all these people posting about the algorithm change. Are you seeing that over there? Do you see a lot of that?
It's all over the place and people are writing blog posts about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. So that's what I'm sort of seeing as well. And I think I've been lucky in a sense in that I haven't really used my Facebook page as a nurturing sort of tool. I use it for advertising, but what I use to nurture my clients a lot is Facebook groups. Mm. All right. Because here's the sort of thing I found with social media. You can obviously use organic strategies, which is like your personal Facebook profile. And I know you're a huge fan of that, AJ.
Post a lot of things personal on your profile. Makes me a lot of money.
Exactly. And a lot of people go the other way and they use the Facebook business page. Okay. And there's no right or wrong. They're both, you know, both good things. But what usually happens is the Facebook business page is a pay to play. All right. If you want to make money on your Facebook business page, you got to invest some money to your marketing. All right. On your personal Facebook profile, you don't need to. You can do it for free. Right?
Yes.
What I've found is Facebook groups is a good happy medium because, you know, a lot of people, they've got like resistance to post on their personal Facebook profile or, you know, they've got, they don't want their, you know, they want to keep it for private reasons or whatever. I find like a Facebook group is a good happy medium because it's not a pay to play, right? It's not a pay to play like the business page. And also it gives you that little bit of separation between a personal profile. Whereas let's say there's someone who's a potential client. Hey, maybe I don't want to add them as a friend on my personal profile yet, but maybe I can send them the link to my Facebook group. They can join that Facebook group. I can suss them out for a while and then add them as a friend if I'm cool with them later. So that's sort of one, I guess to summarize, I think Facebook, I recommend everyone master how to use Facebook groups. right? For that sort of reason there, it's a good organic strategy. But the other advantage of Facebook groups is it's so community-based, right? You know how, like, and not to diss any strategy, right? The Facebook business page is cool. The profile, personal profile is cool as well. The advantage of, like, a community is you can just get people posting on that group. They post on that group. They post on that group. They post on that group. And then you can just come in as an expert and answer those questions, all right? So that's that would be my sort of advice, or where I think the future of social media is going. If you can get together a Facebook group, like a community Facebook group, so not for your clients, just for for ex-clients or for leads or for people that want to get to know you and that sort of thing. And if you can master those Facebook group strategies, I think that's going to help you no matter what happens to the Facebook algorithm.
I love that. That is powerful. And that's a great, great, great way to end it. It is true. Like, I have a Facebook group called the Online Super Coach Group, and I could post stuff in there that would probably annoy the crap out of my personal friends. You know, sometimes I'll post podcasts or I'm interested about something business related. And it's very specific, and most people don't care about that stuff, but I use a group for that. And at the same time, promotions and sales, because if you're just selling all the time on your organic page, you could be a spammer. But that's the great thing about the group. They're in a community where obviously they're there for the content and value, but they're open to making offers to them.
Spot on. And I think it's like the new age email marketing, it's like all the experts say, like the Gary V, jab, 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 cross, right? Give them content, make a sale. Everyone's cool with a sale in a Facebook group if you've given them just content the last three posts,
Yes, absolutely. And the cool thing is that your group is like on fire, man. I don't even have as much engagement as you do. I'm a member of your group and I'm fascinated by how passionate the community is and the amount of content. Even people share their own content, they share their own insights, and it's a huge popular group. So what is the URL to your group so people could join it?
Yeah, cool. So it's pretty easy. It's just www.facebook.com/groups/fitness-education-online.
Got it. Facebook.com/fitness-education-online. And don't you worry if you're driving. Don't write it down. I'm going to keep it in the show notes on the Online Super Coach blog or on iTunes. You'll have it in the link. So you just click on the link and boom. And hopefully Jonah will accept you.
I accept everyone, so they should be all right. Yeah, they should be all right. They're your viewers, so I'm assuming they're pretty cool,
Yeah, no, definitely. I don't accept negative people. So, I could tell someone is negative just by looking at their profile. So I'll just
Sounds good.
There was a fun quote that I put on my Facebook. I said, I could tell someone is judgmental just by looking at them.
Yeah, I remember when you posted that, actually.
And I said that as a joke, but it was funny. There was a few people who just went over their head, and they're like, yeah, I can always tell judgmental people. And I was like, okay.
I might post that on my profile today, actually. That could be a bit of fun.
It's fun because you really see who the dumbest followers that you have. It's a great way to polarize. All right, these are the smart people that get it. These are the people that are probably wouldn't be good fits for me. So,
I agree.
Awesome. Well, hey, thank you, Jonah, for being on my show. I really appreciate you, and I'm super proud of your success. I appreciate our friendship. I acknowledge what you've accomplished, and this is just a start, man. You are truly an example. And that's the thing. I wanted people to hear about your incredible story, to follow you, to connect with you, join your group. At the end of the day, you are living the life. You are successful, you're humble, and you're changing the world in a positive way. So cheers to you.
Thank you, AJ. And thank you so much for having me on. It's, ever since I first heard your podcast, it was a dream to, one day get interviewed by you. So I'm super grateful. So thank you.
Yes, sir. You are the man.
Thanks for listening to the Online Super Coach Podcast. If you like this show, share it with your friends and subscribe on iTunes. For show notes and for free training on how you can attract, convert, and deliver like a million-dollar online coach, visit OnlineSuperCoach.com.